injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors like Jeff's Guitar Clinic, Madison Computer Works, and S&R Remodeling. Joining us now, John Nichols from the Capital Times. John, as we speak on this podcast today, I have to tell you, the State of the Union seems a little irrelevant considering we have a rolling Saturday night massacre.
Yeah, I know. The juxtaposition is really interesting. But truthfully, you know, I think it's Trump's subtle homage not to Putin, who's, you know, some modernist, but to the old school kind of Soviet model, right? Where no matter what happened, they would always come out and say, yeah, everything's great.
So this
you
is
know,
so,
and people are happy. 99%
which one do you think
turnout.
You would compare him to? Would it be Yuri Andropov, Konstantin Chernenko, Brezhnev?
None of the creative
Leonid?
Ones, you know? Yeah. I think you got to think more in the you know, like the Andropov kind of zone.
Okay.
You know, like the sort. And but I will say that the old, you know, Soviet leaders spoke a lot quicker.
Oh, you're right. Well, it was cold out there. They was usually in front of a bunch of tanks outside.
No, but I mean, you know, look, there's nothing really Soviet about Trump. Let's be clear. He is unique unto himself. Comparisons are silly.
I hate to interrupt, but do you think that he's become sort of the Patty Hearst of presidents, that they're blackmailing him, and he's sort of got Stockholm Syndrome now?
Yeah, he's sort of like part of them now.
Uh-huh.
You mean part of the Republican Party? yeah, I don't know what they've got on him, but or the conservative movement. But, you know, it's just weird. When I say he's really unique unto himself, is there's nobody that I can imagine in the history of, or at least the modern history of communications and you know, political leaders as public figures, right? Not just people with power in their positions, but the people who actually communicate, who does it so inconceivably badly. And I know that Trump on the campaign trail, when he's kind of like out among his base, you know, he's theatrical and they like him, they get excited about him, whatever. But this State of the Union address, if he had simply come in for 20 minutes, right, done all the applause, everything, gets up there and says, stock market through the roof, unemployment low, traditionally, you know, underemployed communities getting jobs, going to work on the immigration, make sure America's safe, we're making America great again, thank you very much, right? He would have gotten decent marks for giving a speech that highlighted the current state of the economy. Now, you and I know the current state of economy has a lot more to the hard work that Barack Obama and even some Republicans did back over the last, you know, 6-7 years.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say anything nice about our economy. Until the Swiss cheese economy is done, then I'll
right. And I totally agree with you. But I'm not talking about reality here.
All right. Well, before we get too far into that,
doing what was good for him.
Before we get to
what was good for him.
Before we analyze his speech too much, let's just put the pretext to what's going on here. This is from CBS.
There may have been malfeasance by people at the FBI.
Today, House Speaker Paul Ryan brushed off questions about whether Republicans are intentionally railroading the investigation.
First, there are legitimate questions about whether an American's civil liberties were violated.
Democrats responded angrily.
I don't know if this is some kind of sick game.
For now, the bitter partisan divide has threatened to sidetrack the committee's investigation into whether the Trump campaign coordinated with Russian operatives during the 2016 election.
Russia, if you're listening.
The four-page classified Republican memo was voted out of the House Intelligence Committee along party lines. The document alleges surveillance abuses by the FBI on members of the Trump campaign in 2016. Democrats have written their own 10-page memo to counter House Republican claims.
Isn't transparency a good thing, especially with an investigation like this one?
Transparency is always a good thing, but this is not transparency. This is a misleading document where they're hiding the underlying materials.
Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the committee, says Republicans are trying to undermine the special counsel's Russia probe.
I think there's a real fear as Mueller gets closer to the inner circle of the White House. They throw up more and more by way of distraction.
The president has 5 days to review the document. Already, White House officials have signaled that Mr. Trump wants it released.
And, of course, he was caught on tape last night saying he, in fact, is going to release this Potemkin memo.
Yeah, and the weird part about it was, you tell me, again, my point is, it was from a political standpoint, just for doing State of the Union last night, horribly done. Like almost unimaginably bad and stepping on what could have been his own applause line. And then literally...
No, have you ever seen a president clap for himself when he got up there on the lectern?
It's
he was clapping for
bad.
Himself.
The guy is... It's tragic. But... So here's the deal. Now you tell me, you know, because you've been around politics a long time. You've seen a lot of politicians. You've seen people do really dumb things. You tell me what's dumber.
What do you mean?
Releasing the memo as quickly as possible and then doing your State of the Union address, or doing your State of the Union address, doing your best to get, you know, good numbers, good applause. That's the whole point of a State of the Union address. It's a PR stunt. And then releasing the memo a couple days later, which kills anything that you achieved, which admittedly you didn't achieve much with State of the Union, and focuses all the attention on the sturm and drang about this memo, which Sly is not going to be
like
good
for
him.
I like that sturm and drang. I love that.
Yeah, there you go. I don't even know. It means something bad. But you know what I'm saying, right? He basically stepped on what should be his forward message.
Well, that's been the whole circular pattern the entire first year of his presidency.
But it's crazy because it's going to, what it's going to do, here's what's going to happen. This memo is going to be released. And then, I will predict, I could be wrong, that the Democratic memo is leaked. Okay? And then there's going to be an investigation into who leaked the Democratic memo. And that's going to step on anything that Devin Nunes tried to accomplish, and you're going to have this whole chaos. Now, I admit they're trying to create a measure of chaos on Trump's behalf, but at the end of the day, the polling suggests that, A, the overwhelming majority of people think something weird was going on or has been going on with Russia.
Well, you know, I think...
Devin Nunes is writing about other people is going to matter.
I think failing to put most of the sanctions in place yesterday might have been a greater tip, huh? What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, it's sort of like at the end of the day, right? If you're Adam Schiff or somebody like this who steps up to talk about, you know, this whole storyline, what you just said is the exact right response. Say, oh, well, Devin Nunes, who got, you know, who literally was revealed sneaking around the White House lawn and, you know, reporting things that he had given the White House as revelations from the White House. I mean, just this chaotic, bizarre situation, so badly run that even Paul Ryan briefly distanced himself from the guy. So you got Devin Nunes, Mr. Chaos, Mr. You know, crazy on all this stuff. And then all Adam Schiff has to say is, look, let's pause here. For more than a year now, even before the election, there's been talk about Trump's troublesome ties to Russia. Now we've got Devin Nunes saying all sorts of things and other people saying all sorts of things, trying to distract us from it. But just focus on this reality. The Congress of the United States voted to keep sanctions on Russia because our intelligence agencies tell us it's something we have to do as a country. And Donald Trump is the only person who refuses to go along.
Yes, but after he did this yesterday, even after his own CIA director has reaffirmed that, in fact, the Russians are going to try to mess with the 2018 election.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Here's the thing. Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan folded like tents.
Well, again? Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, I mean, look, if conscience, right, could be measured, you know, the amount of conscience you have could be measured, the baseline that you would start with for nothing would be Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, right? You know, and then you'd get to, you know, just worst people in the world who would be above them. These guys are so shameless and shameful in their absolute loyalty to Donald Trump. Their 100% total loyalty to Donald Trump that they will even, especially with Ryan, they will even occasionally try to theatrically suggest that they think for themselves, well, I wouldn't have said it that way. But when they're so loyal to Trump that they will literally say, well, I didn't like what he did there, but we are still going to move everything he wants to do forward. And I think that this shows the thing that James Madison was warning about at the founding of the Republic. People think James Madison warned about parties. And it was less that. He had some concern about political parties developing. But he warned about something that he referred to as factions. And what he meant by factions was groups of people who were so wrapped up in their own mission, their own self-aggrandizement, that nothing would come before it, not even the fate of the Republic. McConnell and Ryan form a faction within the Republican Party. Unlike the Freedom Caucus people, unlike Rand Paul and folks like that, there are also the people in the Republican Party who we may disagree with them, but they have principles, they have points of view, they will say no, they will stand up. They may be wrong many, many times, but the fact of the matter is they're sometimes right. That's not Mitch McConnell and Paul
Well,
Ryan.
It's why
at
I...
At the end of the
it's
day,
why, it's, hey, listen,
they are a faction.
It is why I never liked a lot of liberal intelligentsia in Washington criticizing Russ Feingold as a process liberal. It was unfair.
He was not.
Russ Feingold is a patriot. and he paid a great price at times for standing up to presidents of his own party. Let us listen to Brian Williams and Nicole Wallace last night. I thought this was the most poignant moment in all the coverage last night.
Nicole Wallace, I believe you are friends with Ana Navarro, and we are both fans of hers.
Yes.
And I want you to react to something she said this week on Twitter. First, he came for Comey, and they didn't speak out because they were Trump apologists. Then he came for McCabe, and they didn't speak out because they were Trump apologists. Next, he'll come for Rosenstein, and they won't speak out because they're Trump apologists. Last, he'll come for Mueller. That is the backdrop we go back to tomorrow.
Gives me chills. And apparently walking out of the chamber, he was asked by a Republican member if he was going to release the memo. And there's a C-SPAN clip where he says he is. So they lie with such ease. We should take Anna's illusion very seriously. They lie about little things, dumb things, the size of inauguration crowd, but they lie about big things. They're mad at me because I ran a clip of four or five of them lying about whether or not the president had ever discussed firing Bob Mueller, and there was Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Kellyanne Conway with George Stephanopoulos and a slew of them. We find out that not only did he want to fire Bob Mueller, he called
it.
The code red. You know, he's and only because Don McGahn said, "I'll quit before I let you do that." Now, the idea that Bob Mueller is all we have left is unfair, because Bob Mueller actually can't indict the president. I mean, I know it's debated, but we should have more than Bob Mueller. We should have an AG that isn't impotent, that has the courage to stand up for the what happened today and this week to the FBI director, that he went to Paul Ryan. And he said, don't give Devin Nunes FISA intel. And Paul Ryan said, I'm going to give it to him. Said he went to the House Intel Committee and said, don't take this vote till I talk to you. All that the FBI director wanted to do was to talk to members before they voted on releasing the memo. They said no. Then he went to John Kelly, the White House Chief of Staff, and said, don't release the memo. And the president, if you believe C-SPAN, if you believe our friend Jonathan Lemire, said, I'm going to release it. We have such big problems. This speech could have been brilliant. He could have been Shakespeare, and it doesn't matter one bit.
That is a conservative Republican. She is still a conservative Republican. She was George W. Bush's communications director.
Talking about a tweet by a former Florida Republican Party, a recently former Florida Republican Party official, because that's Ina Navarro, right?
Right.
And if I'm correct on who we're
that
talking
is correct.
About and so, yeah, these are Republicans talking with a very mainstream journalist, right? And the baseline conversation is that something is horribly awry. And here's the interesting thing.
This is going to have to be short because we're going to have to take a break here. Go ahead.
Say, all this is playing out, right? All this is playing out. State of the Union, all this other stuff. Yesterday also, Trump withdrew his nominee for ambassador to South Korea. This is not a long story, not a complicated one, because the guy raised... He's a scholar of Korea. He's a guy who was heard in the Bush administration because the guy raised concerns about Trump's bombastic language and actually believed in diplomacy. The reason I bring that up is we talk about all this horrible stuff that's going on, all these problems, and yet beneath it, Trump is doing hundreds and hundreds of things that are deeply destructive to our nation's place in the world and domestically. You put it all together... You know, they say, well, Mueller and stuff like this. Is that the one thing I was disappointed with in that Nicole Wallace conversation is she didn't take it to the final spot. She says, the fact of the matter is we have an ability to stop this. It is with impeachment. And the truth of the matter is that Republicans and Democrats should be speaking now directly about impeachment of the president for obstruction of justice and so many other high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well, I thought she encapsulated, though, and put in perspective greatly for what he did. Yeah, you know.
I just took it one more.
Well, she may or may not support impeachment. I don't know. We'll talk more with John Nichols next from the Capital Times at SlysOffice.com.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695. Or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
We're back with John Nichols, SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great unions like Madison Firefighters, Local 311, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and the Teamsters, Local 695. All right, let's talk about the president's speech a little bit last night. Let me just play some of the clips from it. Again, he started out by clapping for himself as he was standing next to the lectern. I've never seen that in my life. That's one of the most remarkable things in the world. And you know what's telling us for years, and she's a huge egomaniac and not my favorite member of Congress, but Sheila Jackson Lee does what before most State of the Union addresses? Have you ever noticed?
John, did she position herself to...
Yes.
Tell me.
Right. She positions herself right next to...
Hands.
Which means she has to sit there all day, right?
Yeah, and same with Elliot Engel, right?
Right.
He's another one.
Right.
A few of these people who... And
this was for Republican and Democratic presidents, right? It wasn't just...
And you never really know whether it's rooted in some, you know, personal self-aggrandizement or whatever, or in some sort of genuinely deep... interest in respect to the process.
Well,
whatever it is.
I will remind you, Sheila Jackson Lee goes to funerals of people she doesn't know. So
Hey, that's an honorable act.
Here is Donald Trump.
Duty and the sacred duty of every elected official in this chamber is to defend Americans, to protect their safety, their families, their communities, and their right to the American dream. Because Americans are dreamers too.
And there was a shot at people that have come here, no choice of their own, and in most cases may not even speak Spanish or the language of the country they've been brought here from. They are all Americans by every thing that we measure in America, other than that piece of paper. As a matter of fact, Senator Heinrich from New Mexico actually brought a teacher as his guest who was a dreamer last night.
Did you know, by the way, Sly, there's something that I heard this figure recently. There's something like 20,000 teachers who are dreamers or who are, you know, fall into the category. And I mean, this is the amazing, the numbers that we are talking about, the epic numbers that are in play here. These are Americans, and this is a huge number of Americans who are working, going to school, contributing to this country. And last night, Donald Trump's most vile action, the worst thing that he did, was to suggest that they were somehow linked to, or they were of a group of people, most broadly, who commit horrific criminal acts.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it was an awful, awful.
If John Nichols were president, would he put a bunch of people up? And both parties do this. Both presidents of both parties do this. Can we stop with using people as props during the speech? You know, those were all wonderful people that the president
really
had. Wonderful.
Many of whom have suffered recent trauma.
Oh, my God, the couple that lost their son in North Korea because of North Korea. I mean,
you could see the mother.
Oh, I mean, it was just
agony.
You know, honestly, I don't know if Donald Trump thinks that the wonderful things all those people have done are some reflection on him, but they're not.
But someday, if somebody actually says, no, I'm not going to go do that, I'm going to write a story about them.
I mean,
not to dishonor the people who go, because I understand.
I'm willing to bet some people have said no. We just are never going to hear about it.
But I do, I mean, I understand why people go. It's your son has died, you know, something, you've done something, whatever, there's a way to highlight it. And I actually respect, who knows, if my daughter had died in such a circumstance, maybe I would choose to do this as a way to honor her. So I respect all that. But here's what I would suggest to you. It's part of a broader change of the State of the Union. You know, I was looking back as we prepared for the State of the Union at past ones. You know, I was just looking for some comparison points. Franklin Roosevelt, who I would say gave the best State of the Union addresses, he used his second to last State of the Union address, perhaps his most important one, in the midst of World War II, to say basically, as we come out of World War II, we're going to have a lot of responsibilities around the world, but we also have a responsibility after having beaten fascism to make sure that we perfect our country. And he proposed a second Bill of Rights, an economic Bill of Rights, that was incredible. It's still a vision that we aspire to this day. And he wasn't alone. Many presidents used their State of the Union addresses not merely to applaud themselves or to get applause, but to actually say something.
Lyndon Johnson with the war on poverty.
And Trump just, there's no way that anyone, even the most enthusiastic Trump backer, can come away from that speech that he gave, his State of the Union address, his first State of the Union address, and say, yeah, Trump really laid out a vision there.
Here is
he really contributed to the future.
Here's something that's horribly ironic and just unbelievable.
In the aftermath of that terrible shooting, we came together, not as Republicans or Democrats, but as representatives of the people. But it is not enough to come together only in times of tragedy. Tonight, I call upon all of us to set aside our differences, to seek out common ground and to summon the unity we need to deliver for the people. This is really the key. These are the people we were elected to serve.
This is the same day that he met with a number of reporters, and after the gaggle, mm-hmm. he referred to Chuck Todd as a monster.
I know. Chuck Todd. Wait, that's a monster. He isn't, by the way. He's actually a really strikingly nice guy. Here's the key to that thing. Number one, we came together as representatives of the people. He wasn't one of the we, by the way, right? In fact, remember, he was claiming that, years afterwards, he was saying divisive things about 9/11 that by all accounts didn't happen, right? Claiming he saw, that they saw people on rooftops and things like that.
Excuse me? He called the Howard Stern Show and pledged money he never gave. So when I hear him going after Comey and Mueller, and look, neither of them are... They're not saints. They're not perfect players. They're not paragons of virtues. But they are very loyal Americans who served us in incredibly difficult times. And you take the totality of their lives versus his. Are you kidding me? This is what confounding.
To associate himself with it is itself something that ought to raise questions. It's so hard to fact check and keep up with his wrongdoing that he doesn't even get held to account.
Well, that actually benefits him, doesn't it?
In a way.
I mean, there was a porn star on TV last night.
I know, yeah.
I mean...
But here's the thing about that representative, this thing of, when he says we came together, it is true. There was a remarkable amount of humanity and decency and people caring for one another in that aftermath. But... I think one of the things that Trump doesn't understand is that someone in that room, right, who showed immense emotion and passion and concern in the aftermath of 9/11 was Barbara Lee, congresswoman from California. And a part of her response to 9/11, as a member of a military family, as someone who's served in government for a very long time, as a genuine patriot, was to vote against authorizing George W. Bush to launch an endless war on terror in the aftermath of 9/11. And the reason I bring that up is that we can come together and yet say no at times and disagree. And often those individuals, like a Russ Feingold, not long afterwards, who voted against the Patriot Act, but we can still keep a clear eye on what is right and wrong. And I think that's the problem with Trump's vision of coming together.
Oh,
that it doesn't have to do with actually, some sort of genuine unity.
Yeah, but
it has to do with lockstep support for his agenda.
Yeah. Well, when you praise every, tin horn dictator in the world, you obviously don't have any kind of concept of that. Let me play one more clip here. This is Joe Kennedy, congressman from Massachusetts, in his response last night.
It is a fitting place to gather as our nation reflects on the state of our union. This is a difficult task. Many have spent the last year anxious, angry, afraid. We all feel the fractured fault lines across our country. We hear the voices of Americans who are forgotten and feel forsaken. We see an economy that makes stocks soar, investor portfolios bulge, and corporate profits climb, but fails to give workers their fair share of the reward. A government that struggles to keep itself open. Russia, knee-deep in our democracy. An all-out war on environmental protection. A Justice Department rolling back civil rights by the day. Hatred and supremacy proudly marching in our streets. Bullets tearing through our classrooms, concerts, and congregations, targeting our safest, sacred places. And this nagging, sinking feeling, no matter your political beliefs, that this is not right.
I'm thinking his grandfather would be pretty proud of him today.
Look, doing the response to State Union is about the hardest thing. I mean, it's
John. Bobby Jindal knocked it out of the heart. Bobby Jindal knocked it out of the park.
I mean, Marco Rubio.
Who was the crook from Virginia? McDonald? McConnell?
Yeah.
McDonald? Whatever.
McDonald, I think, was it? Who was then had some legal troubles, as they say. Here's the interesting thing. Kennedy's young. He was chosen by leadership. There were some people who would have preferred to have a woman there. Some people who argued that you needed somebody who's more, who'd been in different fights. And I understand that. And I actually respect that there were multiple responses to this. Former Congressman Don Edwards did a very good one.
Yeah. Can we get over the whole identity politics thing, though? I mean, how about somebody that can throw a punch?
Well, actually, then Bernie Sanders did pretty good last night, by the way. But I thought that Kennedy took a risk, right? He did it in front of an audience at a vocational Votech high school. And he decided to try and do something different there. And I think that worked in some ways. It didn't work in every way. But at the heart of it was what you played there. There was a point where, even though he had this crowd, it wasn't a lot of applause. There was that moment that you achieve as a speaker where you're putting some emotion out there. You're talking about things that you really care about, and you're going deep. And what he said there, and then in that same section of the speech, where he talked about Trump as a bully, and basically said, look, we're better than this. I thought he did really well.
He's his own person.
And I thought he said some important things.
He's his own person, but it was very reminiscent. If you go back to RFK's speeches when he was running for president in 1968, he did not always paint a pretty picture. He was direct and poignant.
And can I say one other thing, too? He also did it with the cadence that you heard there and an ability to let emotion creep into his remarks. When he was talking about bullets ripping through our sacred places, you could tell, he was a little shaky there, a little soft, and a little open. And I think we need more of that in our politics. So I think he did himself a great favor. I don't think that was his purpose, but I think that...
I'm generally a big fan of Irish Catholic social justice politicians that are progressive. I thought that was pretty good. It touched my heart.
Good. Well, that's what I'm talking about. And at the end of the day, too, I think that he expressed a sense, perhaps more than he even knew, a sense of what's really wrong. Because for many people, it's not, horror. It's not anger. It is a nagging feeling, something that's with you all the time.
I felt
that this isn't right.
I felt that way watching that entire speech. It made me sick to my stomach to think what has happened to this country. John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation. Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
We work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.